Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Hedham, Connecticut. Welcome to the show, Ed Matthews.
Thank you, Victor. Good to see you.
Great to have you here. Now, Ed, you are quite broad in the world of real estate investing, and we're going to talk mostly about one narrow piece today. But before we do, maybe give a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
So from a career perspective, I spent about 24, almost 25 years working for Silicon Valley software and service companies, slinging software all over the country and in some cases all over the world. And later in my career, I was traveling 150, in some cases 200 nights a year. And with two little girls and a wife who I'm really fond of, and I really wanted her to stay fond of me, I started to look at other opportunities. Coincidentally, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I think is a common theme among a lot of my, you know, it changed fundamentally the way I looked at both my career and where I wanted to go. And so started investing in real estate back in 2011. Started off as a small multifamily investor with a side helping of flipping to create capital. And in late 2017, early 2018, I realized that our portfolio had surpassed what I was making in corporate America and thought it was a pretty good opportunity to move forward and jump out on our own. So I did. And I've been doing this here at Clark Street Capital for 6 years now.
I love it. Your story is similar to mine in the sense that I made the transition in my case, 2009, from the tech industry doing, I think in 2009, I did 200,000 miles on Star Alliance Airlines. And it was just not the right thing for me and not the right thing for my family, and just made the switch into real estate on a full-time basis. And yeah, there's a lot of people out there with a purple book story. Absolutely. And I know Robert loves the fact that he has impacted so many lives. You know, when I do spend time with him, which is not so much lately because he's got some health issues, but something that brings him a lot of personal satisfaction is to know that people have really made a significant transition into investing.
Yeah, had a profound effect.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question. So fast forward to today, having a bit of a tech background, you naturally leverage digital marketing to a high level. And that's what I wanted to focus on today, because that's something that I think a lot of business operators don't really pay enough attention to. Why don't you talk a little bit about the different forms of marketing that exist out there, in particular, what you think works in today's environment?
Sure. So we are a heavy producer of social media on various channels, from Facebook to YouTube to Twitter to LinkedIn and Instagram, and now Threads and TikTok. We're starting to get into that. I promised my daughters that I wouldn't do any lip syncing on TikTok, so it's just going to keep it educational. But you know, the whole idea is that it started off as I've been blessed. I mean, I've had several really influential people in my life who have mentored me, and for one reason or another, they either saw something in me or perhaps they, you know, took pity on me, and either way, they helped. And so we have created this educational infrastructure to use social media as a tool to educate the various target audiences that we're trying to reach. And they range from new investors or aspiring investors to experienced investors, you know, limited partners and folks that ultimately partner on some of the projects that we work on. And also we use marketing to digital marketing in particular to reach and create deal flow. So that is, you know, brokers, wholesalers, property owners. And we, you know, we've got a very systematic process in terms of how we go after, you know, the various target audiences that we're going after. For instance, you know, there are 1,208 buildings in the state of Connecticut that someday I'd like to own or at least make an offer on. And a huge part of what we do on a very regular basis is outreach to educate those property owners. And every once in a while, someone picks up the phone and calls and says, I'd like to talk with you about this. And it eventually turns into some level of a negotiation. And every once in a while, we buy one of those buildings. And so we do that with brokers and as well as wholesalers to create deal flow. We use education to identify like-minded investors to work with on our projects. And the other part of it is just, you know, scratching an itch to want to give back. We also create a lot of content around, if I was starting over, here's what I would do. Right. Mm. And hopefully reach the folks that are on the edge of getting going. They haven't read Robert's book yet. So that's the first step, I guess.
If we think about attracting attention, there's a lot of folks out there that are using what I call interruption marketing, which is, trying to just grab attention. And in fact, I find a lot of it very distasteful. A lot of it really borders more on selling. So people are willing to be educated. In fact, they want to be educated, at least those that are seeking education. So it's not for everybody, but for those that are seeking education, absolutely. I believe that in today's environment, educational marketing absolutely works. By sticking to that and staying away from the narcissistic, you know, look at me sort of thing, really making it about guiding the audience in the direction that they want to go, not where you want to take them, but where they want to go. I think that makes a lot of sense. So if you break that down further, how do you do that? How do you know what they're looking for?
So we have, I'm a little geeky when it comes to this kind of stuff. So we have avatars, and actually we've named them with each of the audiences. So I know that Bob is my target limited partner. And I know we've created a character that is very similar to all the other, you know, has a ton of commonality with all the other folks that have worked with us in the past. So we start to build a vision around what's important to Bob. What are the problems he's trying to solve? What is he happy about? What is he struggling with? And, you know, it's like the, I'm trying to remember the other, Zig Ziglar. He said, if I help enough people get where they want to go, eventually they'll help me get where I want to go. I think it's paraphrased, but
yep.
I fundamentally believe in that. And, you know, the fact is that where we work with Bob or Alan, the building owner, or Barbara, the aspiring investor, we're trying really hard to understand what makes them tick and what's important to them and what problems they're trying to solve. And then the content we create helps them in their journey to solve that problem. I look at marketing and social marketing in particular as somebody used the term a dinner party, and I think it's a great way to explain it. At a dinner party, being a real estate investor, developer, whatever label you want to put on me, if I tell someone at, you know, we're sitting at a big table and they say, hey, what do you do? And I say, I'm a real estate developer, I'm interesting, right? Or I have the potential of being interesting. And if that person is interested in what I want, then we're going to have a really interesting conversation. And, you know, we're going to share stories and build some level of rapport. And at some point, they may decide that they want to learn more. And great, here we are. The last thing I want to be is the person selling something at that dinner party, right? You know, walking in the door, you know, hi, Victor, my name's Ed Matthews. Do you want to invest in my property? Is really not what any of us are going for. And it's kind of creepy. So, you know, that's why content and education-based marketing, I find it very effective. I also find it very gratifying because I get stopped every once in a while. You know, we have our own podcast. Every once in a while, somebody figures out that I'm the guy behind that podcast, Real Estate Underground. And they're like, hey, you know, I listened to this. That is really gratifying.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm pleased you talked about the investor avatar. We have that as well. And so we know really what our ideal investor looks like. For example, you know, he's a business owner who's built a business. He sold the business, sitting on a pile of cash. He's got a particular tax problem because he's made some investments in the last year or two that did well. And so he's got a tax problem that he needs to solve before the end of the year and so on. You go on down the list and it's pretty clear what could potentially help that investor.
Right.
It's very, very clear. And then at that point, you're able to, because you understand their problem, we understand their problem, we're able to engage in a meaningful conversation about what could possibly solve their problem, making sure that there's that fit. If there's a forced element to it, it's not going to work.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, I find that the better I understand the human being that I'm standing in front of virtually or otherwise, the better questions I can ask them. Right. And so, you know, the approach that I take is really around, okay, how can I ask better questions so that I can understand where you are and where you're trying to get, and then figure out if I have anything within my control that can help you take a couple of steps along that journey. And so the more I understand that person, you know, the more effective I can be in terms of questioning my way to helping them figure out what the next step is.
So let's talk a little bit about establishing connection within a very short period of time. Now, of course, when you have someone who is connected with you, they're listening to you regularly on the podcast and so on, they can start to develop a bit of a, at least a one-way relationship with you, and they start to get to know, right, get to know you. But even before then, how do you hook, and I use that term because it's an industry standard term, how do you capture their attention? How do you get them hooked without being manipulative in any way? And I want to be clear about that. What is it that you do that connects with them in a meaningful way?
I would love to tell you that I have this secret sauce or you know, some sort of computer algorithm that figures this out for me. Here's what I do. I do a couple of very specific things. If you go to Google and you search on a particular subject, multifamily, one of the cool things about Google these days is it will list probably 8 or 10 questions that people are asking in real time right now. And that if you click on one of those, and it will expand the list and expand the list and expand the list to the point where you can pretty clearly ascertain what people are thinking about today about a particular subject. So that is one tool I use. One of the things that invariably comes up is, you know, I hear a question that I continue to see online. And then when I'm meeting a person, I say, is, you know, this question I see everywhere, is this important to you? And a lot of times the answer is yes. And so that's one tool. I also have, I pay very close attention to the industry in terms of other influencers like yourself. And I pay attention to the titles of their podcasts, the subjects that they're talking about. How many people have paid attention, rated, listened to, downloaded a particular podcast that talks about a particular subject? And there are other tools that I use, which I can lay out for you, but that we use to pay attention to Twitter and LinkedIn in particular, and YouTube, and figure out, you know, what is going viral. And so when we have an understanding of what's going viral, it educates us on, okay, this is something that people care about, and then we can offer our perspective.
So let's talk a little bit about going viral, because there's ways to do that. You know, you can get a cat playing with a Christmas ornament on a Christmas tree, and that'll go viral, but that's not particularly useful.
Right.
So what does going viral mean in this context?
It can be, so one of the things that I'm always looking to get better at is, you know, how can I produce content that will resonate, right? And so one of the things that I tend to do, which isn't necessarily great, is I'm a very positive person, right? And so I'm more focused on educating, hey, do this, not this, right? As opposed to being a little bit controversial. And it tends to, contrarian views, which I have, but I don't share necessarily, contrarian views tend to resonate a whole lot better than you know, status quo type, because it sets you apart. It creates a point of view within the audience. And, you know, if you've got 100 people paying attention to you, one or two of those people may go, yeah, he's right. And then they'll try to learn more. And, you know, eventually at some point, it's like buying a car. Back when, so I'm 54, back in the 90s, when I bought my first car, I drove 5 or 6 different cars. I didn't know what I wanted. You know, it was pre-internet. And these days, by the time I darken the doorstep of a dealership, I know exactly what model I want. I know what the colors are. I know what the features and options are. I know how much I should pay for it. I know how much my trade-in is. And it's very much, it's not a sales experience. It's simply a instant negotiation. I want the white one with these options, and I want it for this price. And I think that the way that we create content and educate, I'm shooting for the same thing, right? You know, I've had multiple conversations, and I don't recommend this, but I'll tell you the story anyway, where I've met investors. You know, we have a due diligence package that we hand to all of our investors, and, you know, it's a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, I offer it, and I've had more than one investor say, "Oh, I don't need that. I know who you are. I've been listening to your podcast for 6 months." And my answer is, yes, you do. You absolutely need this. And you need to talk to your financial advisors and your attorney to make sure that I am who I say I am. And if you don't do that, don't invest. You have to do this. But I've had that experience enough times that it tells me, you know, liking it to the car dealership, they already know what they want. And, you know, in our case, it's to work with us. Again, don't recommend that. Do your due diligence, but nevertheless, it does happen.
I love it. Well, Ed, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
So the best way to reach me is clarkst.com, clarkstreet.com. And that's our website. I'm Clark Street Capital. Our business is Clark Street Capital everywhere on all the various channels. And you can also connect with me on our podcast, Real Estate Underground, which is on every channel you could possibly imagine.
Love it. Well, Ed, great to connect. And for the listeners at home, definitely reach out to Ed Matthews at Clark Street Capital. The link will be in the show notes. And definitely check out his podcast, Real Estate Underground. In the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.